Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory. And yes, you are listening again to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, last week we learned two critical points. The first point was true doctrine tells the truth about the one and only, there is none other, true himself, and that is Jesus Christ. And point number two, true doctrine always tells the truth about God, His Son, and His plans and purposes for us. On the other hand, we also learned the opposite of the coin, and that was false doctrine always lies about both points. So if I get up in church and I begin to teach false doctrine, I am lying not only about what the Bible teaches, but I'm also lying, deliberate or not, about God Himself. And why? Well, I am misrepresenting people as to how to walk with God. But if I get up and teach the truth, then I am telling the truth. I am rightly representing Jesus Christ, the person. Now, this alone will not save someone. No, it won't. But it will teach them how to be saved, or can tell them how to walk with God. When we speak false doctrine, have it be in a church, a small group, or just a handful of friends, we are speaking error. Error, used 13 times in the King James Version of the Bible, is Greek 4106 in Strong's, and it means a swaying, a straying from orthodoxy, deceit, to deceive, delusion. This is what we do when we speak false doctrine. Now, there's another word that sounds a lot like error, but it is much more heinous and much more destructive. And that word is error. And that's used 24 times in the King James Version, and that's Strong's Greek 4105. And, you know, it has all of the same qualities of the word error, but it takes on a willfulness to lead people purposely and willingly to deceive, to cause one to stray, and to willfully deceive someone for, now notice this, for personal gain and error. In 2 Peter 3:17, we see the word error used. Here we go. Brother Peter writes, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness." In Micah 3 and 5, we see the word being used to chide the prophets for their ways and to deceive the people. Micah writes, "Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make any people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace, and he that putteth not into their mouth. They even prepare war against him." Of course, Micah was prophesying against the prince and all of the prophets about the destruction of Jerusalem. But both verses look at deception and leading astray. But the verse in Micah speaks of the false prophets willfully deceiving the people for influence and for personal gain. Well, you know, again, there's nothing new under the sun. The same thing is going on today. All you have to do is turn on your YouTube or other social media websites, and all of the so-called, you know, by themselves, prophets and apostles, what an open shame before God these thieves and liars are, who bilk well-intentioned, good-hearted, but naive people to the truth of the Word of God. You know, I was talking to a brother one day, and he told me if I wanted a real blessing, just go to a certain website and listen to a certain speaker. Well, I thought, and I should have openly told him, if I wanted a blessing, I needed to go not to a website, but I needed to crack open my Bible and read the Word or spend some time with the Lord. I will be honest, I cannot believe the number of so-called Christians that are hooked on YouTube or other social websites. Oh, I've heard of all the disclaimers. Well, it's just a means to get the gospel out. Wrong, it's not. It's not only a means to get the gospel out alone. It is also a means to work more technology, more technology and ways of the world into the people and into the body of Christ. My friend, the more the body of Christ goes after technology and the things of the world, the less of God will be in the people. John knew what he was talking about in John 2:15. He said, you know, love not this world. Now, not the earth, but that worldly system, the world, the ways of doing things that are over the world, even things for God. Love not the world, nor the things in the world, things like technology, and all of those distractions, sports, and all of those things that we get so caught up in. This is a huge deal to God, my friend, because most Christians have no clue that this is going on in their lives. And why? Well, most Christians lack spiritual discernment to what is going on spiritually in their lives. And I will add, most Christians could care less as long as they can serve God in some religious form. Spiritual discernment, wow, spiritual discernment is a big, big deal to God. And the definition of spiritual discernment is to see as God sees. Let me say that again. The definition of spiritual discernment is to see as God sees. You know, I did a series on spiritual discernment, so you could get it, or go ahead and send it to if you want it on the radio. And I taught on spiritual discernment at our home group meeting. My friend, unless we wake up and begin to see as God sees, then I promise you, we will continue sliding further and further away from God toward the world. And the more we slide, the less we know that we're sliding back toward the world. We think we're okay, but in reality, we're not. God sees that, but we don't see that. And that's why it's important to be able to see as God sees, so that we can go ahead and catch ourselves and say no. John tells us why we must not love the world, nor the things in the world. Because if we do, John says, then the love of the Father is not in us. Wow. Did you get that, my friend? The love of the Father is not in us. In other words, if we love the world and the things in the world, we're not saved. We cannot be saved. Our love is toward the world. Our desires are not toward God. No. They're not toward God, but they are for other things. And if so, then we cannot be saved. We cannot be saved unless we love God with all of our heart. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. Well, that does not leave much room for anything else, does it, in our life, or in our soul, or in our heart? Oh no, my friend. Well, it is in my life. That's important to me. That is in my life. But sadly, as I travel around, Karen and I see very few Christians that have any kind of spiritual discernment to where they'll be able to see as God sees. And if you lack spiritual discernment, you can't pray for it. You can't pray for it. You must allow God to work in your life and show you things so that you can develop that spiritual discernment in your life. It is a critical need for that to happen in your life, my friend. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, just trusting that you are having a great week, and you will tune in next week as we talk more about false doctrines. False doctrine is a big deal. False doctrine is destroying the church. Oh, yes, it is. And it's destroying the body of Christ. And most Christians can't see that. Most Christians every Sunday just tune in to watch these guys and just false stuff. This is false and that's false. And unfortunately, they don't know the difference. And that's why it's so important, again, to the spiritual discernment. I just can't speak enough about that. We need that spiritual discernment so that we do not follow after those things that are a lie. I love you guys. Have a great week. And please tune in next week to Pebbles of Truth. God bless. And we'll talk to you later. Amen.